welcome to the NC Students Podcast. NC Students is the middle school and high school ministry of Northland Cathedral in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information on NC Students and Northland Cathedral, please visit www.northlandcathedral.org. Thank you for listening, and please enjoy this week's message.
It's week two of our series, Love Is, and last week, like the big point, really works well for this week, because last week's big idea, the one main point, was that your future love life is being shaped by your present life of love. What you hope for and dream for and hope to have maybe in a marriage or in your home, one day in the future is being shaped today by how you live love. We looked at Paul in his passage, and I already told you guys, it wasn't about the relationships and marriage or boyfriend, girlfriend, but it was about a church, and it was a church discipline thing. But in the midst of that, we see the importance of love and just in regular relationships. So I look at this point, which is, did you have the point up there? This idea that our future love life is being shaped by our present life of love. And I look at that, and it's like, that's the good news, but it's also like the bad news, right? Like, that was the point last week, but it was also like, oh. Because I said that point, and it was almost like you guys were like, yeah, that makes sense, but oh, that's actually harder, you know, to pull off. It's easier said than done. Because loving people is hard. We saw those videos with Snow White and Cinderella. We didn't see the videos of Snow White and Cinderella. We saw a Shrek video that was a little more realistic than Snow White or Cinderella or Belle from the Castle or all these other different Disney stories, and how they kind of make it seem like love is a strong feeling. We got over that fact that love is not just a strong feeling. It's not about the strong feeling. And sometimes you hear people say, it's not a strong feeling. Love is a what? You guys know. You've heard this. Love is a what? Love is a choice. Who's ever heard that before? Love is not a feeling. It's a choice. You've heard that? It's a decision you make. And there's truth to that. You have to guide your heart. You have to wake up every morning and say, you know, I made this vow. You don't have to, but I do. I made this vow, and I'm going to continue to love and do the things that describe love. And in Paul's correction of the Corinthian church, can I just be really honest with you? The point of me going to this is because it's Valentine's Day, and we always talk about relationships in February. But this was a church that was divided. It has nothing to do with the fact that we have a youth group that's sometimes divided. I'm not whipping anyone or calling anyone out. I'm just saying coincidence. You got to believe me. You got to trust me on this one. Just trust me on this one. I'm really worried about your relationship in this whole series. Your relationship in particular. No, not really. I'm really worried. And the point of this thing is your relationship in the future. But a lot of that's shaped today in your relationship with your parents and your friends and even in this room. We looked at all those stories of like, poof, love is a feeling. It's a strong feeling. And we're like, no, it's not. And we heard this idea that love is a decision because it's not just a feeling. There's truth to that. But let me tell you what, it's not all that there is. It's so much more than that. Like love. Because the problem with love being a decision or a choice is my feelings are fickle. My moods will affect my choice. So while it is a choice, I don't have to choose it. And so it's really dependent upon me to be loved. And so we are about to read Paul's definition of love. And I said, this 1 Corinthians 13, even though he's dealing with a divided church, he puts this thing in there about love because they were using spiritual gifts to show how mature they were. And he's saying, no. It doesn't matter. You could speak in tongues with angels, blah, 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 blah. It's like a resounding gong, which is like what pagans did to worship. Your Christian acts of worship without love are just like pagan acts of worship. He said, the measure of spirituality, of spiritual maturity, the measuring rod is actually love. And you think about people that you think are respected. Like, who are the people that you respect as people who are spiritually mature? Oftentimes we think of like the giftings they have, how much they know or what they've done, but really what Paul is saying is it's about love. That's the measuring stick. That's how we gauge spiritual maturity. So he defines what love is, and that's what we're about to read, starting in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. He says, love is blah, 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 blah. We're going to look at that today because love is so much more than a decision. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 4, and actually, Ryan, I'm going to read all of verse 4. What Paul does in the next few verses after he kind of calls out the Corinthians for not having love, for thinking they're spiritually immature, or thinking they're spiritually mature but really being immature. What he does in verse 4 and onwards is describe love, but he does it two different ways. He does it, first of all, by giving two very positive, you know, descriptions. Love is this. But then he goes on with a list of love is not this. We're going to talk about what love is not next week. But let me just make sure before we hop into this thing that we all agree, because maybe we're answering a question no one's asking. Is loving your parents and loving your family and loving your friends and loving each other, is that an issue that we struggle with, or that everyone got that down? Because if everyone has that down and says, psh, I got no problem loving people, then I can close in prayer. And you're laughing at me, so maybe you struggle, but everyone, I mean, like, this thing is messy. Your homes are messy. Your friendships are messy. We know this room is messy. And we know love is a choice, but it's got to be more than just a choice. So let's take a look at this description of love. And what we're going to do today, quite simply, is just two words, the positive statements of what love is. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 4. Love is patient and kind. That's the word of the Lord for you today. And I know that's like really bizarre that Jerome's only going to read like 4 or 5 words. Love is patient and kind. 5 words. Because like you're like, oh wow, normally we get like 3 chapters, right? But no, love is patient and kind. These are the two words that Paul uses to begin his description of what love is. And there's a passive action that love has, which is patient, and there's a active action. But here's the beautiful thing. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4, and in other places in Scripture, you can see what Paul is doing here is he's not just describing actions that are good, that describe love. He's describing the very nature of God. Romans 2, 4 says this. Essentially, Paul is writing, same guy who's writing this, he's writing to Rome saying, you people want these people to suffer and be punished, and you don't think you're subject to the same punishment? Thank God that he's merciful and patient with us, holding back destruction and the end so that people could come to know him. He is merciful, he's patient, and he's kind. This is kind of that two-sided part of describing God. Paul's definition of love, the very first two things he says, is describing the character and the nature of God. Patient and kind. And who here says patience is easy? Or even being kind is easy, because it's part of what love is, and we know that love is difficult. So God is patient. God is kind. He's patient because he's not giving to us what we deserve. What do we deserve? Destruction, separation from him. And he's giving to us what we don't deserve. Grace and mercy and everything that he's blessed us with that we do not deserve. The very nature of God, the very characteristic of God. First John says that God is love, and Paul defines love as what? Patience and kindness. These are the positive things. And I look at these things right here, and you think about what Paul is doing in 1 Corinthians, talking about spiritual maturity. The Corinthians were not acting in love, and he's saying, you have all these spiritual gifts and practices, but it's nothing without love. And they're like, oh, you know what? Maybe you're right. And I don't know if you guys, when I read that point last week that said your future love life is being shaped by your present life of love, you're like, oh, yeah, I get you. I feel that. I got to love better. I got to make a better choice, right? Yes and no. Because the thing that I want to point out with Paul's definition of love here is that it's not just about my choice to love. I'm not the source. I'm not good enough to be patient and kind. I can try. And there's moments where I'm patient and kind. But if I'm the source of my patience and kindness, if I'm the source of my love, then it's going to be off again and on again, and I'm going to make a mess. And we will make messes. Let me just say this. When we preach truth of Scripture and what God's saying, I don't expect everyone to say like, oh, I'm going to do that forever and ever and never fall short. We need grace. That's why we're here. But let me just say, love is far more than a choice. It's an overflow. Here's my point here, and this is if you want to write something down, but this is it, that love is more than a choice. It's an overflow. It's a work of God within us. Love is patient. Love is kind. The two descriptions of who God is throughout Scripture, holding back destruction, giving grace, all of it unearned, all of it to people who don't deserve it. And the reason we have such a hard time showing love is because we still wait for people to deserve the love that we have to give. But Jesus Christ God the Father are examples of what it means to love people who don't deserve it. Now, you know that in Greek, there's different words for love. In English, there's like love, love for this, love. I love my pet, and I love the Seahawks, and I love my wife. Not the same kind of loves. I don't have a pet, and I love the fact I don't have a pet. But in Greek, there's actually different words. There's philia, which is like brotherly love, where we get the word Philadelphia. There's eros, which is passionate love. Let me just stop there. But then there's agape, which is the love that God has for his church and that we are told to love each other with. When the Bible says God is love, they're using God as agape, this love that's so far greater than passionate, sensual love, which is what eros is. Different than brotherly love. And we said we're to love one another. It's to with the same love that God loves us with. And let me tell you what, we can't love each other with the same love that God loves us with because it's not within us. It's not part of our nature and character. It's his nature and character. He is patient and kind. Paul defines love first by describing the character of God. Love is more than a choice. It's an overflow, a work of God within us. I kind of already hinted at this, but I'm convinced that God's at work within us in this student ministry. And I'm convinced it's going to change things. And I know some of you feel uncomfortable with that. I'm not putting expectations on anybody to do anything. But I'm just saying, as an observer, I think God's at work. Small steps here and there. God's at work. It's more than just choice. If it's true that love is more than a choice, but it's an overflow of a work within us that God is doing, that he's the source, then when we walk into the mess of the lower level, and let's just be honest, I know you guys are like, oh gosh, I can't, drums like really like on the nose with this stuff. It's really awkward and uncomfortable, but we are not shocked by the mess, and I'm glad that nobody here is shocked by the mess, but if I've ever said that this thing is messy, so we should just be comfortable with the mess, I've miscommunicated. Don't be shocked by it. It happens. But that doesn't mean we have to live there. And I know I'm the first one to say, I'm not idealist. I'm not an idealist. Things get messy. People step on each other's toes. People have misunderstanding. People hold stuff. But I'm not saying that's the ideal. I'm just saying it happens. So maybe I've overplayed that card. What do we do if love is more than a choice? Because I said we don't always want to make that choice. I want to wrap it up because I feel like I'm talking a long time. It hasn't been that long. I'm trying to illustrate short sermons for my 8 short sermon people. And Lee will be 9. No, maybe not. Here's what we do. I want to say go out there and love people and make that choice. I want to go through the list of things. And that's what I almost did today, is went through that whole list of Paul. Love is patient. Guys, we should be patient with each other. Love is kind. Guys, we should be kind to each other. Love does not, hold a record of wrongs. Guys, we should just let things go. I was going to come and kind of like just boom, boom, boom. And you know what that does? That puts everything on you to act better and do it right. But I'm convinced that no matter how hard you try, we're still going to fail. And the thing that really allows us to love and to do that list of things is not a to-do list. That list of things is, here's what flows out of our life when God does the work and there's an outflow, an overflow from our life. So what is it that we need to do to love? Be kind and patient? Absolutely. When it's hard, when people don't deserve it? Absolutely, because that's what God has done to us. He's done for us. But seek the source. The source is not us and our own ability and our own power and our own will to, I'm going to muster up and be the good Christian I know I should be. It's saying, God, would you transform me? God, would you change the way I see things? And the way we do that is we abide in him. That's a whole other passage, a whole other sermon, but Jesus talks about abide in me and in my love. We are transformed as we walk with him. This is why we read the Bible. This is why we pray. This is why we fill our heart and our mind with things that would please God. Not because it pleases God and we get credit with him and, oh, maybe I'll get into heaven. You're already there, guys, if you put your trust in him. We do it so he can change us, so we can live the life he's called us to live that we have no ability to do on our own. We didn't have ability to get saved in the first place, and we don't have the ability to live the life he's called us to live. We needed him there and at the beginning of this thing, and we need him today. I need God to do work in my heart to love my kids because they don't deserve it sometimes. I need God to work in my heart to love my wife who always deserves it. I'm just a cranky jerk, but I need God to work in my life that I could love her. I need God to do a work in my life when I'm grumpy. Don't be shocked when this thing gets messy. We're all in process. We all need grace. This is not a message about forgiveness. It isn't. It's a message about love. But you never get to that forgiveness thing. Because none of us would say forgiveness is the right thing to do. And it's not like we don't know that. It's just that we don't want to do that. We don't want to make that choice. Because we don't. We need God to do work in our heart. And I'm convinced God is doing some stuff. And that he's doing some stuff in my heart. I need him to work in my heart. If Nani was here, I would love to sing from the inside out. I probably should tell her next time, let's do that ahead of time. Because that song right there captures this whole message. God, would you work on the inside out? And I understand some of you guys are here because you're forced to be here. I understand that Christianity seems like a bunch of to-dos. And maybe for the first time today, you heard Jerome say, it's not about the to-do list, it's about the transforming from the inside out. That's the perfect song. I could just lead it with her guitar. From the inside out. No, see? Come to the altar and weep and pray and hug each other. It's time. No, it's not. It's time for me to pray. We're going to break into groups. The call to love one another is not a burden. It's not easy. But I'm not interested in us dressing up the outside of the cup, like Jesus accused the Pharisees of doing the things of love, the outside things of love. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in behavior modification. What I want to see God is do is something deep in our heart from the inside out. And yes, I know Nani's here, but it's too late. We're going to pray. We're going to go in groups. Students, let me say this. I'm convinced that we're a people on mission together to tell people about Jesus, that we are a lighthouse. And let me tell you what the scripture says about people who are unbelievers who walk into a room of believers, that they would look and they would observe and they would be convinced that there's something going on here that's real. And people aren't going to like when I say this, but I think we have the market, like the corner, like we've, what is the term? We've cornered the market on love. Why? Because God is love. Why? Because his character, his nature, and he's transforming us to be more and more like him. I think that our marriages as Christians should be far more ready to succeed than non-believers. Why? Because non-believers can love each other. I understand that. There's love that goes on and not. But if God is love and the definition of what love is God's character and nature, and that character and nature and that spirit dwells within us, I think your unbelieving friends could walk in here and maybe sense that. If we're doing it the way we're supposed to do it, if we love one another, we love our parents and our friends, if we love not because people earn it or deserve it, but because God's called us to love and he's doing a work and there's an overflow in our heart of the very character and nature of what love is, the very character and nature of God, I think people would walk down here and say, I don't know that I have this anywhere else. And maybe I'll stick around with you bunch of weirdos who believe a Jewish carpenter died on the cross for my sins. We're not going to debate your friends in the kingdom, but we can live our life and glorify God and let God do a work in their heart. May we be that kind of community. Let me pray for you guys and for me.